We'll launch into the February 17, 2012 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this week's rain report. Bringing space to the classroom has been a significant accomplishment of amateur radio over the years. But what if I were a classroom teacher looking to get connected with the International Space Station today? Dave Jordan, AA4KN, AMSAT ARIS volunteer, talked about that process at the 2011 Dayton Hamvention.
Well, I'm going to speak on space communications from the classroom using the ARIS organization and AMSAT and how they play into this.
This is NA1SS International Space Station with the...
You might consider it the ultimate long-distance call. The kids at Facet Middle School in Oregon drop a dime on Commander Mike Fink aboard the International Space Station.
Yeah, I'm ready to start.
All this is made possible with help from the Toledo Mobile Radio Association. They brought out this super high-powered antenna, allowing folks here in Oregon to communicate with the space station, which is orbiting Earth 223 miles away.
My name is Kevin. How much work and effort did it take to become an astronaut? Over.
When I was a kid, I watched people walk on the moon, and I just really thought that was amazing.
Space is very important to our everything in school, and you need a lot of skill, and I feel like I could have that skill.
Wow, that was incredible. Think about that, the excitement that was there at that level in that school. And it's going to take a lot to top something like that in a school, believe me. With the budget decreases in education and with standardized testing, this has become a big issue. My wife is a music teacher. It's all she can do to get out to a field trip anymore, to take the kids to one concert a year. It's an enormous task. And with this going on, I want to tell you today how you can bring a field trip to the school, and this is what this is all about with ARIS. ARIS stands for Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. I'm probably telling a lot of you what you already know, but I just want to fill in between the cracks on this and give you a solid understanding, and there'll be some new news along the way. Mission of ARIS is to inspire in young people the interest in science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM initiatives. It's a big thing in school now, the STEM initiatives, through the use of amateur radio on board the International Space Station. Now I'm going to give you a little history. The first manned flights that did anything with ham radio was a shuttle, and they developed the program called SARAX, a shuttle amateur radio experiment. Now SARAX got its start on STS-9, so it was way back, and it was launched on November 28, 1983. SARAX operation on STS-9, it was carried out by Owen Garrett. Now, Owen was here about 2 years ago with his son, Richard. They were at AMSAT booth. A lot of you got to meet Owen. He's a fantastic guy. And Richard Gosbaum was saying he's an incredible person. It was used on 25 missions from 1983 to 1999. MARAX was next. When you got the Mir space stations up there, something had to govern how it was operated in terms of ham radio. So that's what MARAX did. It helped manage the ham activities that were on board. Then comes ARIS. You have the International Space Station come on to the scene. Amateur radio on the International Space Station. The first ARIS contact was in December 21st, 2000. And as of May 19th, the total number of contacts was 641. I checked this morning, and now it's 642. We have done a lot of contacts with this. It averages around 58 over the span, although you don't get equal numbers every year. But it's quite a number of contacts, quite an accomplishment. Okay, I'm going to give you a little lowdown on how you operate with the systems on board the ISS. Generally, there are three ham-related activities on board the ISS. School contacts, the international downlink frequency, which you can listen on FM, on your handheld radio, on your FM rig at home, on your mobile rig, was 145.800 megahertz received. Now also, whenever there aren't school contacts going on, or those random contacts that occur, typically you'll find that it's in APRS mode, packet mode, and that's always at 145.825 receive and transmit. You know, you can actually ping it with your radio. Your path would be ARIS, A-R-I-S-S, and you can actually ping it and see messages come down. It's a very interesting mode to be in. And for demonstrating in schools, it's fantastic because then you can go to, I think there's a site called Amateur Radio on the ISS, and you can see a map and see your call letters down there. It actually gates way. So it's a fantastic thing to do for kids to show them that you can sit here trigger the ISS and see it on the screen, on the internet. Occasionally, you will have random contacts for hams. Now, in the U.S., this varies per country on the transmit frequency. You'll have different transmit frequencies, different regions of the world. But in our region, you got 144.49 megahertz transmit, FM. You've got 145.8 again, which is the universal receive frequency. And that's how you want to communicate with them. There are two methods, though, for doing school contacts. It's very important. They have the telebridge method of contact and the direct contact. The telebridge, this is in Santa Rosa Community College, California. Tim Bosma, I think, is the director of that. And this is their station. This is their antenna. I've used W6SRJ several times for telebridge contacts, and they do a fantastic job. Very well experienced. Now, what a telebridge is, basically, for you, those that don't know, you got to think of it sort of like a phone patch system. What happens is a school in the past would apply for a contact. And once they get the contact on schedule, if they wanted a telebridge and they requested a telebridge contact, they would have a telebridge station, and there are several around the world that have been designated as telebridge stations. One of those where the pass is going over at a convenient time, and they can schedule it easily, they'll contact that telebridge station and set this up previously to the contact. And what they'll do is, as soon as that pass starts going over that telebridge stations makes contact with that person, relays the astronaut's communication between the ISS, his station, and landline to the school. So you have something very much like a phone patch, and then the school just says over. The guy at the other part of the world on his telebridge station kicks on transmit and lets the school go back to the ISS. In fact, we did one of these at Lake Silver Elementary in Orlando a while back, and it went fantastic, and that was with Luis LU8YY. He did a fantastic job from Argentina to Orlando.
Dave Jordan, AA4KN, AMSAT ARIS volunteer, talking about how classrooms can connect with the International Space Station. We'll conclude our excerpt from his 2011 Dayton Hamvention presentation in a moment. This is the RAIN Report. Still looking for a new webmaster. If you're interested, send a note to HAP, 1P, not 2, HAP, at therainreport.com.
Direct contact. The ARIS contact is carried over a ham station located at a school. Now, you could have a local club that you know where they have a passion for doing satellite work. They could bring their equipment in, and then you could do it that way. You may have a school club that's at the school that can handle a direct contact. But that's where you have it, right there at the school. A week ago, I did one with English Estates in Fern Park, Florida, near Orlando. Fantastic job. We had some difficulties, and that happens on occasion, but the kids walked away. They're still emailing me about how excited they are, and I'm still buzzing about it. You can't beat an ARIS contact experience. It's incredible for your school. Recommended equipment for direct contact. You have a 2-meter FM transceiver, 50 watts or better, into a high-gain 2-meter cross-element VHF antenna. You have azimuth and elevation rotors, typically like the UASU model G5500. That's a popular model, the 5400 also. So that you can turn your antenna in two planes and get in any position that the computer tells it to. The computer tracking program is used to drive the rotors, typically. SAT PC32 is a great program, and that's what our club uses. Computer rotors interface. You need an interface to so the computer can convert to an analog signal to drive the rotors. And a popular one now, and I say this because I use it all the time, it's simple to use, is the G6 LVB tracker. And this is an incredible, it's also available from AMSAT, can be ordered from their store. Random voice contacts. Everybody's always interested in trying to get on there and talk to an astronaut, right? The D700, this is what they always use in the past anyway to talk to stations on Earth, also for the schools. This is the school system. Up here you have an SSTV camera. I believe the Russians use this a lot more now. On occasion, they'll have a time when they send down SSTV signals. Microphone here, that's his hand, of course. But this is generally the area where the hams, things are hung up. And this is typically what you see inside the space station many times. Things are just where they need to be. Functionality is the key, not cosmetics. Here, very interesting. This is the Russian module. And this is where the antenna is, the three antennas for ARIS. They're used for ARIS. These antennas are interesting. It's right here is one, here's one, and you can see this one better, but this one is a piece of, they use a measuring tape stock, you know, the metal measuring tape. Just, they use the stock, it rolls out to the length they cut it for, and if an astronaut's on EVA and he bumps it, so what? It does like this, and what does it do? It comes right back. And so you always have it there, it can't be damaged, very hard to damage it. So that was a genius idea to use this, and it's working great. School contacts are the proof. We have good school contacts to them. So this is my ground plane antenna. I'm indeed restricted, so I've been able to get away with a lot. I've been very thankful for that. But this is the most prominent antenna on my property that you can see. It's only up about 12 feet, but I've been working the ISS several times off this antenna with great success. You know, it's a vertical. It's got a lobe like this that comes out. But for a lot of the passes you get, they aren't straight up above. They're coming at you at an angle like that. You do get a little spin modulation, a little fading on it on occasion, but not too bad. Aris contacts in the past, it's like I said, you would apply for an Aris contact. They would schedule your group of kids at the school for contact with a space station using amateur radio. Things have changed a little now, and it looks like a change for the better. It's a little better structured. And I'm going to read this off to you, so forgive me for the long read, but I think it's important that you know this. Starting May 19th, there's a new proposal process that applies only to the U.S. contacts in their territories, not to international. They're still doing the application process. U.S. contacts will be selected from school proposals. It's not that you just write an application anymore, submit a little story for your school, they get reviewed, and then you get your contact. This is going to be a little different. They're going to be proposals. So they're a little more stringent, but they're very defining, which is good. And the schools that will do these will be very, the schools that are going to be very interested in getting a contact and carrying on curriculum. Okay, so you get your proposal, you submit it to the NASA Teaching from Space Program Office. The proposals are then evaluated. They're based on their educational plans of the school. It's reviewed by the Teaching from Space Committee and ARIS together. So NASA's getting taking on a bigger role in this than they used to. They've always been affiliated in ARRL and all these people, but they're taking a little bigger role in administration of these contacts. There will be two-month windows during the year when these proposals can be submitted. Each window is used to select contacts for a specific six-month period that will follow. Not immediately, but it will follow later. So they're going to have time to review all these proposals after the two-month period and then set up a schedule that will be more defined. The first proposal window now will be May 19th to July 15th, 2011. So for that period of time, 2 months, you're going to get to come up with proposals, submit them, and hopefully acquire a contact. The selected schools during this period will be scheduled for contacts in the January 15th to July 15th, 2012 period. So that's when these contacts will start occurring. You'll be notified if you've been selected and you can carry out a contact. I will add this too, and I think Dave will be in agreement with this. It seems like NASA is stressing also in these contacts that you involve the community more. You have more participation on the event. The larger, I won't say it's going to guarantee that you'll be selected, but it can't hurt. Let's talk about AMSAT a little bit. Now, AMSAT, it's not a clear line between AMSAT and ARIS. A lot of the members of AMSAT are members of ARIS just like myself. I'm an area coordinator in Central Florida for AMSAT. I do a lot of the ham fests. I do a lot of activities that they ask me to do, or I'll help people, I'll Elmer people. In addition to that, I've taken on responsibilities with ARIS doing press releases for all of the contacts worldwide. It's an inspiring job. You learned about what other schools are doing worldwide, and it's incredible what they're doing in Europe on some of these. They have dignitaries come in. You know, it's incredible. They take it very seriously. But I've learned a lot from being a PR person there. But AMSAT, for those of you that don't know, AMSAT primarily is a satellite designer, and they acquire launches whenever possible. It's getting tough, but they do. And then they launch the satellite, and then we use the satellite. Basically, it's that simple. AMSAT stands for the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. If you look on the AMSAT site at amsat.org, there's a place you go up there for status of satellites. Well, then it rips down, you see all the satellites that are up there. That, and it tells you their status, if they're dead in the water, if they're working. You know, these things do go out after a while for other reasons.
The thoughts of AMSAT ARIS volunteer Dave Jordan, AA4KN, about connecting classrooms with the International Space Station via amateur radio. This was an excerpt from Dave's 2011 Dayton Hamvention presentation. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2012 RAIN, all rights reserved. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 on behalf of RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.